Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. Before we take roll and gavel ourselves in, just a few standard protocol, standard announcement. If you want to testify, please sign up on the sign-up sheet that is out on the table out front. After invited testimony, we will be calling folks in the order that they signed up. If you are a lobbyist, which is defined under local law as representing a business or an organization authorized to speak on their behalf, and you are speaking on their behalf, then you just need to let us know that up front. We just want your name. Other than that, we just want your name. Or if you're a lobbyist, your name and who you're representing. If you're not a lobbyist and you just give us your name, first and last name, we do not want your address. We do not want your cell phone number. We do not want anything but your name. The 3 minutes for public testimony, there's a clock in front of that hunk of wood. It'll count down from 3 minutes. There's no hooting. There's no hollering. There's no clapping. There's no burping. If you like something and you feel the need to express yourself, you can do this. And if you don't like something, you can express yourself with that. So with that, Sue, how are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Have you been out and about this afternoon?
I've been kind of tied up in the office, actually.
You've been occupied in the office?
Yes.
The workload. Could you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Salzman. Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed. We have three related items, all for the Thursday 2 o'clock, November 17th, time certain. Can you read the title for all three?
Item 1240, declare the City of Portland's support for the renovation of Veterans Memorial Coliseum and authorize the city, RIP City Management LLC, doing business as Portland Area Management, successor in interest to Oregon Arena Corporation and Portland Winterhawks, Inc., to continue to negotiate a redevelopment agreement for such renovation. Item 1241, authorize sole source acquisition and execution of a redevelopment agreement and related agreements, redevelopment agreement with the Portland Winterhawks, Inc. and RIP City Management, LLC, doing business as Portland Area Management, successor in interest to Oregon Arena Corporation for the renovation of Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Item 1242, authorize legal services agreement with Ball Janik LLP for outside counsel related to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Very pleased today to present for council consideration and for public hearing a term sheet agreed to by key stakeholders to enhance and renew Veterans Memorial Coliseum and to preserve its, as we do that, to also preserve its history. Veterans Memorial Coliseum is the heart and soul of the Rose Quarter, and the Portland City of Portland and the Portland Development Commission, along with the Winterhawks and the Blazers, have over the past 2 years, with great input and advice from a stakeholder advisory committee, all leads to today. The funding available for the project is currently projected to be $30.5 million, which includes more than $17 million in public money. About $250,000 will be generated from the project to be used for RAC's 2% for art set aside for artwork related to the enhancement, refurbishment, and restoration of veterans' memorials. More than $7.5 million of the resources, and these resources that I'm mentioning now are from the Oregon Convention Center Urban Renewal Area, have been set aside for to meet the affordable housing goals within the URA. Among the items anticipated to be included in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum improvements, and it is still a draft list because as we move into further engineering and design, we will know more precisely what the costs of some of this stuff are. But these are some of the high on the wish list items: seat replacement, improved ADA seating, national hockey-sized ice rink, remodeled concession stands, including ADA accessible counters, updated lighting and ADA compliant interior doors, restored landscaping and enhanced memorials, as I mentioned, in the memorial gardens, a complete roof replacement, upgraded emergency lighting system and building-wide fire alarm system. The project will pursue a LEED Gold certification and will be subject to all of PDC's workforce training, hiring, equity and apprenticeship programs. Improvements to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Memorial Gardens will expand opportunities for community use of the facility. They will provide a celebrated gathering place for events and activities while promoting our creativity, livability, and diversity. And despite what some might think, this is helping to preserve and improve what is, in reality, in the Pacific Northwest, one of the most used public buildings around. So with that, I would like to recognize the chair of the Portland Development Commission, who has worked very long hours on this. While I've had other things to do, it also happens to be an area of expertise, and I want to thank you for your great leadership and work in bringing this back to us.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and commissioners. We are here today. I'm Scott Andrews, chair of the Portland Development Commission, and I'm project sponsor for the redevelopment of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. We are here today, and I have Jack Graham from OMF, Doug Piper from the Winterhawks, and Chris Oxley from the Portland Arena Management. We're here today to update you on the status of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and to discuss the development of a non-binding term sheet between the City of Portland, Portland Arena Management, and the Portland Winterhawks. I want to start by talking about why we're investing in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Over the last 3 to 4 years, there has been significant discussion around what should and could happen with the VMC. After a long public process that looked at all of the possibilities, the mandate was received from the community and from City Council that efforts should be made to preserve this historic building. In turn, these efforts will trigger results that move well beyond preservation. First, the creation of a more vibrant VMC that will catalyze future Rose Quarter development and grow the tax base. When I say that this project will be catalytic, I mean that it will have deeply energizing effects on multiple fronts. From an economic development standpoint, investing in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, a city-owned asset, solidifies the future for this facility and sets the stage for potential private sector development within the Rose Quarter. As long as there's a question mark on the use of this site, it's going to be very difficult for any developer to know what a successful Rose Quarter development might look like. From a planning standpoint, this project is integral in the Rose Quarter plan, which in turn will be incorporated into the Central City 2035 plan. From a sustainable standpoint, the preservation of this historic building anchors it within an innovative district energy plan. And finally, from a community investment standpoint, this project underscores the important role that the VMC plays and will continue to play for all Portlanders. Second, enhancements to the Coliseum are expected to provide additional community access to gathering space, recreation and cultural opportunities that will support neighborhood livability and attract new businesses to create new jobs. And finally, renovations and improvements to the VMC will enhance the convention center setting and setting an environment within the urban renewal area and help present the best of Portland to visitors, thereby extending convention stays, return visits, and business recruitment to the region. As noted on the attached term sheet, the project budget is estimated to be $30.5 million. As the mayor told you, the city will provide $17.1 million through tax increment financing. The Portland Winterhawks are proposing to provide $10 million, and the project will receive about $3.4 million net from historic tax credits. I'd like to again remind you that we're able to issue this additional debt to reach the maximum indebtedness without private placement of the bonds. Our dedication of the extra funding to VMC has the added result of additional set aside resources in the Oregon Convention Center, URA, for housing. The TIF set aside is approximately $7.5 million and can be used anytime going forward. I also want to point out that TIF resources were always contemplated for the use in the Rose Quarter. At this point, other remaining OCC funding is focused on the rest of the Urban Renewal District for business development. From a project perspective, the project team has worked hard to strike a balance between capital repairs and operational enhancements. The proposed project reflects that balance, as well as the recommendations from a 2-year outreach effort with the public and the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Exhibit A in the term sheet provides a summary of the anticipated improvements, and the mayor summarized those. We have a signed architect and engineering contract in place, and the design team is hard at work on schematic design documents. The Rose Quarter Advisory Committee and general public will review the schematic design progress at a meeting scheduled for Wednesday, November 30th. Once the schematic design drawings are complete, we plan to present the project to the Portland Commission on Disability for ADA and Disabilities review. OMF will convene a subcommittee on ADA for this review with options for follow-up as the design continues. In addition to an improved and enhanced Coliseum, this project will result in a significant revamp of the Veterans Memorial Garden. From the outset of this project, the team has worked to ensure that the memorial aspect of Veterans Memorial Coliseum remain front and center. There's been extensive involvement and input from local veterans groups. The Regional Arts and Cultural Council, 2% for art, will be utilized on the memorial aspects of the building, and we had early participation from the RAC in helping to formulate the vision for the Memorial Gardens Enhancement Project. The VMC plays a significant role in the local community. It currently serves more than 400,000 visitors per year, and we anticipate that number will increase with the upgrades to the multifunctional meeting rooms, a community skating program, and the retention of a vital community gathering place with increased efficiency and operational flexibility. When construction commences, the project will use PDC's aggressive MWESB contracting, workforce training, and hiring and prevailing wage policies. These policies will guide our work in both the design and the construction of the project. And in addition, the project will pursue a LEED Gold rating. On a parallel sustainability track, the Shared Thermal Energy System RFQ winning team, Corex and McKinstry, is currently involved in exploring the next steps in the implementation of an Eco District strategy for the Rose Quarter. We're close to signing an MOU on this effort. Before I turn this over to Jack, I want to note that we intend to bring a sole source exemption to City Council in the next few weeks that would enable Portland Region Management to hold the construction contract. We believe PAM is uniquely qualified to manage this effort since they're the exclusive operator of the VMC, have experience doing this work, will do the project management without collecting a fee, will have deep familiarity with the building and its operations, and have the ability to deliver a large portion of the project improvements under a vendor direct delivery, which is lower cost than having a general contractor do it. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Jack.
Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners. I'm Jack Graham. I am the Chief Administrative Officer and Director of the Office of Management and Finance. I would like to make some very brief comments regarding the term sheet that you have before you today for your consideration. First, overall, I believe that this project benefits the City of Portland. The Veteran Memorial Coliseum is a major city-owned facility that will receive over $30 million in investments from private and tax increment financing. This investment will greatly reduce the city's capital liability exposure and help ensure that the Coliseum remains an asset to the city. The parties to the term sheet acknowledge that the city cannot agree to bear cost overruns that will increase risk to the general fund. The term sheet also requires that the general contractor provides a guaranteed maximum price for construction costs, which will also reduce the possibility that the project will run over budget. In addition to the guaranteed maximum price, the term sheet includes a large contingency of 20% into construction, which will reduce the likelihood that the project will exceed budget due to unanticipated cost overruns. It should be noted that no general fund dollars are being committed to the renovation of the Coliseum, and we do not anticipate that the city will issue any spectator fund or general fund debt for this project. The city may, however, play a role in the bridge financing for historic tax credit resources, but at this point, it is uncertain as to how that role might be structured. The bridge financing issue will be addressed as part of the redevelopment agreement, which will require your approval. In closing, I would like to say that I believe that this term sheet would be a good starting point in negotiation of the redevelopment agreement. Thank you.
So Mr. Piper from the Winterhawks and Mr. Oxley from the Portland Arena Management wanted to make just brief statements, and then we'll be ready to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Doug Piper, president of the Portland Winterhawks Hockey Club. As an addendum to PDC Chair Andrew's testimony, the Portland Winterhawks are pleased to be among the parties that have reached this important milestone of presenting the Veterans Memorial Coliseum redevelopment term sheet to the City Council today. The Winterhawks remain committed to support the city's efforts to revitalize Veterans Memorial Coliseum by playing the dual roles of primary tenant and private equity investor. We are very pleased and impressed with the effort and energy put forth on this project by the city, PAM, and PDC, and although this has not been a highly publicized process, I assure that all parties have been working very diligently behind the scenes to meet our aggressive timelines. As has been our mission from the beginning, the Winterhawks are proud to be in a position to contribute to the rebuilding of this nationally registered historic landmark. Like Geldman Field, we believe Veterans Memorial Coliseum has the potential to be a phenomenal public space that will well serve hundreds of thousands of regional residents, from hockey fans to high school sports enthusiasts to concert lovers to our veterans community. Allow us to take this opportunity to thank City Council for providing the support needed to complete the restoration of Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Thank you, Ms. Piper, and thank you and your management team and your owner for bringing to even greater life the Winterhawks and the fan experience, and you've been a great partner on this, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Oxley.
Good afternoon. I'm Mayor Adams, commissioners. Once again, my name's Chris Oxley. I'm the general manager for the Rose Quarter here representing PAM. If it's okay, I won't mention all of our DBAs and successors and interests as outlined earlier. I'm here primarily to provide support to this group. Chair Andrews has outlined in great detail where we stand as of today. For me, I think it's important to publicly compliment the groups that have been involved and have gotten us this far in the Winterhawks, OMF, PDC, and the veterans community. I'm personally excited to play a part in this project and in the very near future be able to deliver back to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee some outcomes from the past few years. So that's an important element for us, and we're looking forward to that opportunity. We do have, you know, an aggressive schedule ahead of us, one that we believe that we absolutely can meet, and I wanted to express our continued commitment to this project and moving this forward as expeditiously as we can to meet the deadlines coming and deliver the Winterhawks and the rest of our users a building that we can all be proud of in the very, very near future. So with that, I'm primarily here to answer questions and provide any feedback to council. Thank you.
Initial questions? So I have a question just to really to refresh my recollection on the term sheet. Paragraph 8 talks about community benefits and enhanced community usage. And the clause states that the public will continue to have access to the plaza space outside VMC for community events, access to meeting rooms inside VMC, and access to VMC for ice skating. So I understand the ice skating piece, but could someone remind me what is the current level of public access to either the plaza, and to the, I guess we call it either ground floor or basement floor space?
I'd be happy to. Specific to the plaza, which sees significant community use, I don't think there's a weekend that goes by throughout the summer that isn't active and alive. You know, just going back through probably this last summer, it hosted Fight for Diabetes Walk, the Down Syndrome Buddy Walk, Stroll-a-thon for Rett was another one. March of Dimes Walk has been there for as long as I've been there, and that's starting to be quite some time. Making Strides for Breast Cancer Walk, Girl Scout Bridging Walk, I mean, the uses for that space are significant, and we'd like to create more opportunity. A lot of those happen particularly in the summer. We'd like to see some additional opportunities throughout the year for use of that space. As it relates to the Coliseum itself, we've got, a thriving high school hockey program going on already, much like what the Hawks are doing at their skating facility whenever there's ice available. We've got hockey teams using it as much as we possibly can. We want to expand those opportunities, particularly in the daytime. This last year, the Coliseum was used for the first time by the Cascade Aids, and had a wonderful, an amazing event that really brought the Coliseum to life. I think for us, it's just creating an environment within the Coliseum through this project to re-legitimize the space in some form and fashion with regards to the public. And if we can get it to a level in which we can all be very, very proud of, that I think it's going to open up more opportunity for people to see it as a vibrant, usable, and open space.
So, if I could, Mayor, just two follow-ups. On the, I've been to some events inside the Coliseum that had to do with high school sports and high school graduation.
Sure.
Does the reconfiguration that's being contemplated here allow for those events to continue? I know they do high school dance competitions, other sporting events, and then it's a Portland Public Schools does its graduations there. Would that still be
absolutely
accessible?
Absolutely. Tom Welter and OSAA has been a long-term partner and user of the facility. OSAA wrestling tournament is a wonderful event for us that brings people from all over the state and brings a lot of folks to Portland. Their dance and drill competition, their cheerleading competition. We'll do 9 to 10 straight days of high school graduations in June. Absolutely.
The only difference is that now the seats will be a little more comfortable.
Seats will be a little bit more comfortable, and we'd like to think the entirety of the building will be something that's a little more accessible. But those are my philosophy going into this, and quite frankly, been trying to drive this home from day one, is that we do no harm, particularly to the users that have been consistent and loyal to the building for as long as I can remember. We wouldn't want to do anything that compromises that.
And Chris, could you remind me, how does the space in front of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum get permitted? And I'm talking about the plaza area that's partially covered, but the area in front facing north.
There's a program in place through OMF that they can request use of that space at no fee, and that's something that we would continue. Generally, they're going to be responsible for their direct costs involved of utilizing the space. The same can be said for the exhibit hall and some of the meeting rooms, and we've continued to make those available.
Other initial questions?
When we renamed it, we had the ceremony there, and I've never stood looking out from the Coliseum before because I'm always focused on getting inside, and it was really beautiful. That's a wonderful space, so I'm really glad to hear that that's available. My only question is there going to be a dedicated office space for the veterans inside the Coliseum?
It's been contemplated as a more of a meeting space, an available meeting space. Those meeting rooms in the Coliseum have always been available to the veterans. We'd like to create, once again, a better environment for them as well to have the desire to have more meetings and opportunities to commune within the Coliseum. It's one of the conversations being had as it relates to the meeting rooms that we can dedicate something that is advantageous for them from size and accessibility within the building.
Yeah, that would be something that I'd like to see is some kind, whether it's a service center to help veterans get service or something that's open five at least, but 7 days a week, that's their space, I think would be really nice.
Understood.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm going to save Mr. Stacy to last because we have four chairs. You may return to your seats.
Thank you.
But the next four, please come forward if we could have Brian Libby, Judith Mowry, Joseph Reedy, and Stuart Emmons. Hi, welcome. Glad you're here. Mr. Libby.
Thank you. My name is Brian Libby, and I'm here on behalf of a grassroots volunteer organization called the Friends of Memorial Coliseum. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here, by the way. I'm also, in a certain respect, here on behalf of three organizations that have expressed their support for the restoration of Memorial Coliseum: the National Trust for Historic Preservation, the American Institute of Architects, and the U.S. Green Building Council. And if it's okay to say so, I'm also here on behalf of my grandfather, who is not able to be here, but is a World War II vet who landed at the beaches of Normandy and wanted to express his support as well for the building. I make my living as a journalist and have spent the last 10 years or so in Portland, mostly covering architecture and visual art for a variety of publications. The Memorial Coliseum is the one situation where I felt it necessary to kind of step beyond my normal role as an impartial journalist because I grew up in Portland and in Oregon, going to this building, and then as I became involved in architecture, developing a passion for it as kind of the epitome of the World War II generation's contribution to architecture. And I just wanted to come here and emphasize, among other things, that it's a unique building, not just in Portland, but in the United States and the world. As best I can tell, the Coliseum is the only building in the world, the only arena in the world with a 360-degree glass view to the outside. It is also a veterans memorial, of course, but from my architectural perspective, I wanted to express the idea that the entire building and not just the Veterans Memorial is a tribute to veterans, and that the design of it expresses a kind of openness that is supposed to symbolize hope after World War II. And that's why it's more than a basketball arena and it's more than a concert hall, even though there is great, as a lot of these good people have talked about, there is great economic reasons and a lot of substantial reasons in a more bona fide economic way to restore the building. But I guess my perspective here is to maybe emphasize a kind of broader cultural idea that great cities preserve and protect their greatest cultural treasures, whether it's a painting or a park or a piece of architecture. And when they don't, it becomes a kind of unfortunate black mark, be it Penn Station in New York City or any number of other cases. And so this restoration of the building, in my mind, is an expression of Portland's values about in a variety of ways. Economically, yes, again, but also culturally. So obviously there's a lot of work to be done in the Rose Quarter, and it's not a frivolous thing to spend an amount like $30 million, but I just would like to humbly thank the council for what they've done so far to shepherd the building and really encourage the idea that its restoration, on top of all the economic and sustainable reasons, is also an expression of Portland's values as a pioneering city that finds a way to do things the right way. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Brian, thank you so much for your work bringing to my education the importance of the Coliseum. And would you please say a personal thank you to your grandfather? I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for what he and others did in Normandy.
Thank you.
Hear, hear. Ms. Mowry.
Thank you. Hello, Commissioners, Mayor. My name is Judith Mowry, and I work with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And I was asked to come and just talk about a conversation that we've been having for the past 2 years that I've had the pleasure and honor of facilitating between the Elliott Neighborhood Association and PAM. It began as a conversation about a potential good neighbor agreement between the Elliott Neighborhood Association and PAM, looking at issues like litter, parking, and really kind of the impacts from Blazer games mostly. Over the last 2 years, we've expanded the conversation to really start talking about it as a partnership agreement. There's so much going on there. The interest of the Elliott Neighborhood Association, the interest and sometimes the anxiety is there's so much going on there, and they fear sometimes that it's going to be forgotten that it's a neighborhood. And but we've kind of gone from issues of litter and parking into conversations about connectivity, sustainability, parking and livability, mitigating the impacts on livability, but more than that, enhancing the opportunities to enhance the livability. you know, talking about things like what the community agreement benefits look like. It's been a really rich conversation. I think Pam has been a great partner in this. Angela Kremer and Mark Warwick have worked very hard from the LA Neighborhood Association. And really looking at community connectors. And I think that I was very moved by what you said, and the word restoration really rings with me, as most people know. But I think that there really is an opportunity to reconnect a community there. That's what I keep hearing from people. So we've been having a conversation that looks at identifying common interests, but even more than that, exploring what may appear to be conflicting interests. And I think one of the things that's been great about the conversation is we found that underneath that, there are often a lot of common interests and different ways to think about it. I would also like to thank, particularly, I have to thank Justin for his work from Pam, because he has been very helpful in connecting. In a lot of the meetings, he has updated the Elliott neighbors on all these other projects. And as I said, there's a feeling that there is just so much going on in that area, and the Elliott Neighborhood Association feels like a very overstretched volunteer group. And I think this conversation has been very positive around reconnecting people to a sense of history as a neighborhood in that area.
Thanks for your work very much. We appreciate it. And Mr. Reedy, I want to, before you start, I just want to remind folks that the Stakeholder Advisory Committee has worked tirelessly going through details of what has been tried in the past and failed, and really helped me and others understand that past failures to renew and renovate and rejuvenate and bring it to its full potential for the entire portion of this neighborhood really were blocked by a lack of decision on the future of Memorial Coliseum, so Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So I just want the council to be reminded this, that Mr. Reedy is representing a group of 28 or so stakeholders that have done a fantastic job. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, Mayor. I have no great sentimental attachment to this building. Before this whole issue arose, my primary memories of this building were 5 miserable days spent downstairs in the exhibit hall, struggling through my architectural registration exams. And no Blazer victory or Winterhawks win has ever made up for that. But when the issue of demolition came up, it just didn't make sense to me to contemplate demolition without first establishing what the value of the building was. So I spoke up, demanding that, asking for that, and I got my wish, and I got appointed to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. So my participation over the last 2 years in that has demonstrated that this building does have value. It contributes economically, socially, culturally to the exchange and energy of the city. It has a large number of constituents. It has a large number of uses. It has tremendous potential. It also has a very long list of deferred maintenance items that this bill before you today represents the first step. And so I hope you'll take that first step today. Thank you.
Mr. Emmons.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Stuart Emmons, co-founder of Friends Memorial Coliseum with Brian. And the Friends have had much to do with saving the Coliseum. We helped get it historically registered, and we have been kind of tireless advocates for a restoration of the Coliseum. We have a nationally historic landmark now. And it embodies a moment in our history where the future was embraced, and it's really a key piece of Portland history now. It's just simply an architectural masterpiece on an international scale, and when it gets rejuvenated and lit up, it will become obvious. I'm excited that we're going to create jobs, and starting in January and on into, if James will get the drawings done in time, in July, we'll have many new jobs for Portland. I'm excited about $7.5 million going to housing. And I'm also, I think it's great that money will not be taken out of the MLK and interstate corridors, and it will be really focused on this area. We've always seen a rejuvenated Coliseum, this internationally recognized masterpiece, as the nucleus for the rebirth of the Rose Quarter. And I can see articles in national periodicals, and I think we're going to be able to really market this building for the benefit of the entire area. I hope when my son graduates in June, they open the curtain up, because when the curtain is open in this arena, it is one of the top arenas I've ever been in. It is just extraordinary, the daylight coming in and the form of the bowl. The concourse has the best view of downtown Portland, and it is a great event space. So I hope, Mayor and Commissioners, we can do some parties in the rejuvenated Memorial Coliseum, because it's really a great place to gather our community. The third thing. So hopefully, I love trees, but maybe we can take a few of the trees down around the Coliseum, because I can see people driving into the city on the Banfield or walking on Tom McCall Park or on the river or whatever, and coming down I-5 or within the neighborhood, on the neighborhood streets, walking, driving, biking, and seeing this glowing, and maybe we have dynamic lighting within the Coliseum. There are all sorts of opportunities where we can light the bowl, and this can really be a beacon for our city, and we'll say that is our tribute to our veterans. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And that is a good segue to introduce our last invited testifier, but the most important, Tony Stacey, who's also a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee representing veterans on this and many other issues.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to sit here today. I have two different outlooks of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Not first or most important, but from the sports advocacy end of it, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum has a very strong tradition and history when it comes to sports in Portland. There's been a championship, there's been many children, many families, many community members that have passed through those doors. On the veterans side, I speak for the veterans community as part of the other communities when the veterans say they're very appreciative of what you have done so far in the renaming and rededication of the building, but most importantly, recognizing the veterans community as partners in this project has awakened quite a few of the veterans that have been sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what happens. Because of the Portland Winterhawks, AEG, the Portland Trailblazers, and most importantly, the Portland Development Commission, I have seen a paradigm shift on the thinking of how veterans look at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. When we discussed it 2 years ago, the veterans community thought that this project was going to go forth. Now it has. We're looking forward to being a financial partner as far as the Veterans Memorial Gardens. We have commitments from members of our veterans community for monies that will be put in for the refurbishing, refit of the Memorial Gardens. And we have some ideas of some events and projects that can take place at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum that will help fund the continual use of the Memorial Gardens and the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. There's been a lot of hard work that has been done. I'd like to thank all the staff from the mayor and the commissioner's offices. I'd like to thank the staff from PDC, particularly Kevin Brake, who has always taken my phone calls and emails. And I'd like to thank the staff of AEG and the Winterhawks who have opened their doors and invited the veterans community in to participate in their events. This is a historical day. for many. I'd like to say thank you again on behalf of the veterans community. They're watching, and they're ready to stand up when you need them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. We really appreciate it. All right, we'll now open it up to public testimony.
And we have one testifier, Brad Perkins.
Mr. Perkins, welcome back.
Okay. Mayor Adams and commissioners, thanks for allowing me to speak. I am part of the panel having to do with the Sullivan's Gulch Trail for its improvement and vision, but also I'm part of the Urban Renewal Area Committee for OCC, Oregon Convention Center. It seems like this is going to pass, and I don't want to cause any rain on the parade here, but I just hope that this building is as successful as possible. There are a few questions that I have regarding issues of cost versus the return on investment. Timber, I hope that the Winterhawks increase their crowd numbers so that there's a great more outpouring of dough that comes into the building, and it becomes a success. I really do, because I used to have a company in preservation myself. I know the importance of historic buildings and preserving them. But I just wish that our URAC committee had more participation in this, because we would have an opportunity to speak and drain down on the numbers a bit more. One of the ways in which we can make this more successful is to have more critical mass. In other words, more people coming down to that area. And during the whole process of review of this building, there wasn't enough in regards to a master plan of the area, especially between Interstate Boulevard and the river. And being on the Sullivan Gulch Corridor Trail Committee, and also the fact that the Willamette Greenway people have received money for that improvement as well, it's logical to say that there will be a great need to plan inside that area for both bicycles and new rail. If we're going to have any connection to the river, we've got to move the old tracks, Union Pacific tracks, over and include a possible station for commuter rail to Vancouver, Washington. Okay? Vancouver, Washington, which would be part of the same system to Vancouver, BC, part of a high-speed rail system. So we really need to look at the possibilities of improving the infrastructure, increasing the possibility of a great hub down there that's already begun with streetcar and light rail, and the bikeways, hopefully, that it could be a dynamite location to bring in tens of thousands of people per day, every day of the year, and become a tourism and transportation center for the whole region. And I hope that we are able to delegate some money for that purpose. The North-Northeast Quadrant study doesn't seem to have that as a high priority. The highest priority for that group is improvements of I-5, widen it for greater access to the garden, which is fine, but we must also plan for alternative modes of transportation as well in that area and help improve success of Coliseum as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. All right. Unless there are additional council questions, Sue, would you please start calling the votes?
On the resolution number item 1240, Leonard.
I have appreciated the work Mayor Adams has conducted in facilitating the place that we are at, and I think that the project as presented is sound and makes sense. Just for the record, I want to make clear that for me, the Memorial College, I grew up in Inner Northeast Portland. I went to my first concert at the Memorial Coliseum. I graduated the Beach Boys in 1964. graduated from high school there in 1970. Had very many deep connections to the Memorial Coliseum. With all due respect to my friends in the architectural community, I've also been privileged to travel the world, and I've been inside the Sistine Chapel. I've been inside St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. I've been to and inside Westminster Abbey. Those are truly architectural masterpieces. In my humble view, the Colosseum is not an architectural masterpiece. It certainly is a building that is where it's at, and we need to accept that it is where it's at, and it needs to be used to its highest and fullest potential. And my vote today is for that reason, not that I consider it an example of the highest and best architecture. In many ways, I have said in many venues since I've been here that I think in some ways it does a disservice as a memorial to veterans. I was there when the Colosseum opened. It's hard to find the memorial. I would have preferred to have a design where the memorial was out more open to the public so people could look at it and see it for what it is. The example I've always used is if you took somebody such as my grandchild, who was 12 years old, and stood in front of the Colosseum and asked him, what does that represent? And he'd say, well, that's where we go see the Winterhawks, Grandpa, or that's where the Blazers used to play, not that it's a memorial to veterans. So I don't mean to diminish the action that we're taking today, but I do feel compelled, for as long as I've been in this debate and for as hard as I tried to make sure that that site was used for its highest and best use, which, with all due respect to all the partners, I don't think happens today, but that's a battle that happened and didn't I didn't succeed at. But I do think that given that we have the Colosseum and it is what it is, it requires to have the investments made that are being made, and it needs to be used in a way that maximizes the utility for Portlanders to interact within it. As I said, my grandson and I do go to Winterhawks games. I enjoy going to the Coliseum to watch the games. I really like going and watching them in the Rose Garden. And I hope that the experience that occurs after this investment in the Coliseum reflects the experience that happened at the former PGE Park, now Geldwin Field. It is a remarkable transformation that occurred in that venue as well, and I can tell you my experience watching Portland State Viking games there is exponentially greater for myself and Cole and my wife than it was prior to the investments. I can only hope that this approaches that kind of transformation when the project is completed. So it is out of respect to the work that the mayor's done with what it is that we have to work with that I am pleased to be able to support this resolution. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I actually do, having come from a European country with those great historic landmarks, it's a different kind, but I think it's really beautiful. And I appreciate that gracious speech, Commissioner Leonard, because that is recognizing that we have made the decision to move forward with it and that it now requires an investment of funds to maintain the city's property and to make very good use of it. Since the Spectator Fund no longer has the funds for the improvements because that fund was used for Geldwin Park improvements, this creative financing and this investment of public money for the building is necessary, and I think it is good economic development investment to create a more vibrant Coliseum and indeed a part of a vibrant Rose Quarter. The point was well made that we do need to make the entire quarter work better and be more in use 24/7. This is one piece of that, and I think it will definitely revitalize and give more energy to the Coliseum and indeed bring it to its finest use, which is as a Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And I think that those who gave their lives in the Great Wars and others would be very glad to know that the community is going to be coming into this space with their name to enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. I appreciate that the Winterhawks are dedicating such a huge investment and making sure that they remain part of our community, and appreciate that community spirit. And the Blazers, Portland Arena Management, continuing to do the management so that it is managed in a holistic manner also makes a lot of sense to me. I appreciate that the 2% for art will be dedicated to enhancing the Coliseum and the Veterans Memorial, et cetera. And I also appreciate the renewed commitment to work with the Elliott Neighborhood Association. That was a very commendable and different part of today's discussion that I don't remember having heard in many other projects at this stage, that there's been such a urge to reach out to the neighborhood and recognize that this building sits in a neighborhood which has experienced a lot of changes over the last 100 years. So thank you, Mayor Adams, for leading this. This has been a challenging balance between a lot of community involvement and then your leadership in saying which way to move forward. Chair Andrews, thank you so much for your leadership on this, and your expertise shines in this. And I'm really looking forward to it getting done in good order. I am looking forward to those good jobs that are going to be going into our community right now with the local folks working hard to renovate our beautiful Coliseum. Aye.
Fish.
Originally, the only issue I was going to raise was I still haven't, despite all the briefings, I still don't understand the icing rule. But
not enough time today.
Yeah. But
a whole another day.
In light of one of the comments here, I feel a modest rebuttal is required. So the Portland Parks and Recreation a couple weeks ago received the gold medal as the top park system in the country. And it was an award which recognized 160 years of investment in public spaces. And as we all know, the first public spaces that the city acquired were acquired from two gentlemen named Lounsdale and Chapman in 1852. And 160 years later, we have a system that's the envy of the country. And it's been because primarily Portland residents have been willing to invest in great public spaces. And so today we have a forest park, a wildlife corridor on the west side. We have a Tomahawk Waterfront Park. We have a Pittock Mansion, which we didn't build, but we now have the privilege of maintaining. So we have a tradition of investing in great public spaces for the benefit of our community. And as Brian Libby was talking, I just did a quick list of a number of spaces that to me are those cultural treasures which help define our community. I think of the Halprin Sequence, perhaps the greatest work in the 20th century of landscape design. I think of Tom McCall Waterfront Park, which is unparalleled as a riverfront park. I think of Pioneer Courthouse Square, which once upon a time, as Mike Lindbergh always reminds me, passed on a 3-2 vote of the council.
Oh, it did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the third vote. I think of this City Hall, which underwent a substantial renovation not long ago, and one of the people sitting up here was criticized at the time for aspects of that, but now is really a crown jewel of downtown. And I think of the train station. I think of Bud Clark Commons, which recently was, I believe the mayor was at an event where it received the highest award for architecture in this past year. And those are all public buildings and public spaces, and all of them have either gone through or are in the process of going through substantial renovations to make sure that future generations can enjoy them. As Amanda said, these things are in the eyes of the beholder, and I've never tried to cast my vote on whether I cared more for baseball or hockey or whether I thought this building was more beautiful than this building. But I will say personally, when Brian said that great cities preserve and protect their cultural treasures, I would have to say that that's true of great American cities and great cities of the world. And these are our cultural treasures. These are our equivalent of the great spaces. And long before I came out here, I remember watching, the view from a helicopter of Memorial Coliseum before a basketball game, and I always associated that Coliseum with Portland. And I think one thing we've learned today is that apparently you can be 12 years old and allowed unaccompanied by an adult into a Beach Boys concert. And I would hope that that doesn't reflect the current practices of the operators of this facility.
He said he wasn't with his parents.
Next
I don't
time,
know that he said he was unaccompanied.
Next time a 12-year-old shows up for an adult concert, we should direct them across the street to Disney on Ice and away from something like that. But the beauty of a democracy is we can have different views on this, and I have enormous respect for Randy's view on this and the good fight that he waged, and I have great regard for what the mayor has trying to accomplish here, and he's been criticized for not being ambitious enough or being too limited in the vision, or it reminds me of the emails I'm getting on Occupy Portland, and probably at some point we have to acknowledge we found some kind of happy medium. But the most important thing is we have been told for some time, please act, move forward. And this, today's action, allows us to move forward. And I think it is I look forward to the day when Memorial Coliseum, which has been disinvested in for all too long, is returned to its glory. Because from my point of view, it's an iconic building and a signature building in our cultural landscape. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you for the kind words. Thanks for the support in the City Council. In addition to those that I've already thanked, I'd like to thank Dina and Kevin and Peter Pariseau and Kimberly Schneider before him, who had this job, Kia Selly, who also worked on this. It's a really tough project. There's a reason why 17, 18 years has elapsed without a decision around Veterans Memorial Coliseum. There's a reason. Part of that was funding. And to come up with as a creative, it doesn't impact the general fund approach to getting this restored and renovated in these tough times is doubly remarkable. So thank you all very much for your good work. Bye. Can you please call the vote for 1241?
On 1241, Mayor, we received an email from Jim Van Dyke yesterday asking to refer it to your office because they're working on some changes.
It's a non-emergency.
Oh, it's a non-emergency.
It is a non-emergency.
So it continues on till next week. So unless there's objection, 1241 is referred back to my office. So done. Can you please call the vote on 1242? 1242, yeah.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish? Adams.
Aye. Congratulations.